From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later tonight, an American occultist joins us. Looking forward to that. Here's what's happening. Something is very strange with ISIS. I can't seem to put my finger on it. But we need to find out who's supplying them with arms, weapons, take back these oil fields that they apparently are controlling and making money off of, because it's getting out of hand, folks. Islamic State militants have reportedly burned to death 45 people in a western Iraqi town of al-Baghdadi, just 5 miles away from an airbase staffed by hundreds of U.S. Marines. Now, the identities of the victims, not clear. But a local police chief is saying that some are believed to be among the security forces that have been clashing with ISIS for control of that town. And a colonel pleading for help from the Iraqi government. They're nowhere to be found. An international community said a compound that houses families of security personnel and officials now under siege. And in Italy, they're scared. They think that ISIS is going to come into Italy now from Libya. Last weekend, as a matter of fact, the Italian prime minister shuttered the Italian embassy in Tripoli in Libya. They only have, by the way, Italy only has around 5,000 troops available to deploy. That's nothing compared to what ISIS is doing. We need a better international effort, and we got to stop this because it's out of control. But there's something strange going on about this. I can't put my finger on it yet. The Department of Homeland Security is suspending the rollout of President Obama's immigration actions after a federal judge issued an order blocking them. The DHS agency has been set to start accepting applications on Wednesday for the first phase of the plan, which is an expanded program shielding young immigrants who came to the U.S. illegally from being deported. Now that's being suspended for a while. Frosty Wooldridge, of course, author of America on the Brink, wanted to check in with Frosty on this. Well, first of all, Frosty, what do we know about the judge? Why did the judge halt the plan?
Well, George, first of all, he cited Obama's administration's failure to comply with the Administrative Procedure Act. And what that means is that he is a man, is fundamentally beginning to defy the U.S. Constitution and rule by decree. And it's ironic because for 2 years before he made his amnesty of all the children, he said, and this has been documented 22 times, that he did not have the authority to take the very action on immigration that he eventually took. So what we're facing here is a president who is taking the law into his own hands, and the U.S. District Judge Andrew Hannon simply stopped him by using the rule of law. And at this point in time, as reported by quite a few top reporters, the president no longer can continue on this path, and this thing's going to be tied up in circuit court in New Orleans for at least 6 months and probably a year. That means that these 5 to 15 or even 20 million illegal aliens in this country are not going to get an amnesty at this point in time.
Now, what does that mean, though? They're going to still stay in the country, Frosty, or are they going to be deported?
They're going to be staying in this country because what has happened is Barack Obama has dismantled the Border Patrol. It certainly has dismantled the Department of Homeland Security by making sure that they simply do not deport anyone, that they don't essentially incarcerate anyone, and that no businesses are going to get locked up or caught up in any kind of raids for hiring illegal aliens. So essentially what we have is a lawless border, and we have a lot of lawless interior. And these illegal alien migrants that are here now are going to continue in limbo.
Frosty Wooldridge, his Twitter feed, of course, hooked up with ours. We'll show his website. Snapchat. You might have that app on your smartphone. It's, people using videos that simply, they're supposed to, disappear after a certain amount of time. Well, Snapchat is looking to raise as much as $500 million in a new funding round that would value the mobile messaging company at $19 billion. They don't charge for Snapchat. It's free. I don't know how they make money. How do you value a company at $19 billion? Strange. Researchers say that drinking too much water can cause a number of bodily disturbances, including excessive sweating and sleep disorders. Just take heed there. A Wyoming man who died last year from a brain tumor is keeping Valentine's Day special for his wife, even in death. Shelley Goulet of Casper, Wyoming, received a bouquet of flowers 2 days before Valentine's Day. She thought her children had sent them. She contacted the flower shop and learned that her late husband, Jim, had arranged before his death last summer for flowers to be sent to her every Valentine's Day until she too passes. How about that? Phoenix man turned a whopping $35,000 profit on a $5.99 investment after he sold a rare watch that he found in a Goodwill store that was, as they say, grossly underpriced. Good for him. A supermoon is ready to take center stage in the night sky on Wednesday, but with an added twist, it'll be a new moon. What's this all mean? Let's check in with the astronomer, Stephen Cates. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, George. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm good.
Well, here's what's interesting about this. We find the moon to be exceptionally close, and normally when we talk about supermoons, we talk about a moon that is obviously a full moon. But unfortunately, nobody will be able to watch this, but and yet the moon is exceptionally close to the Earth, which is a very strange set of circumstances. But get set, George, for the following month, when we move in beyond March, we'll be seeing another of the great total eclipses of the moon. This is something so fascinating. We get to see the shortest total eclipse of the moon, George, on the morning hours of April the 4th, when we only see the moon in totality, get a little of this, maybe some 4 minutes. We haven't seen an eclipse that short. A total eclipse like that since around the year 1529. But this one, just think of it this way, George, a supermoon in reverse, instead of it fully shining, this one is as black as the night sky, but it's one of those rare and exceptionally close moons. Much more at drsky.com. And, George, just to update everybody real quick, the big clouds that have been seen on the planet Mars.
Weird, yeah. What are they?
Very strange. We have a nice update there at drsky.com. And check our photorecon.net site for the aviation world with our 2014 year in review for aviation and all the events of air shows.
Scientists and astronomers beginning to figure out what the cloud is?
Well, George, right now nobody knows, but the simple answer in our short time this morning is that in the southern part of Mars, an area called Terra Cimmeria, there may be something happening down there. Mars doesn't have a magnetic field like the Earth. It has magnetic stripes. And what that means simply is what we see above the surface, there may be some particles that are charging. We're seeing auroras on the planet Mars. But, George, finally, I think the real reason behind all this, get a little of this. Remember the comet that passed Mars in October?
I do.
All that debris, I think, is responsible for some of the strangeness going on Mars, and we'll have more to update you as we learn more.
Thanks, Stephen. Appreciate that. You never know. A couple of years ago, a fellow and his brother were surrounded by Sasquatch-type creatures in the state of Washington. It's truly an amazing story. In a moment, Wes Germer joins us to talk about that story on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. Now, back in November of 2012, Wes Germer and his brother Woody were surrounded by several Sasquatch-type-looking creatures of the foothills of the state of Washington. The encounter, of course, changed both their lives. He decided to start a podcast. It's called Sasquatch Chronicles. It allows others to come forward and share their encounters, too. And since this episode, he has been researching and investigating reports from eyewitnesses all over the place. He's with us for a couple hours tonight on Coast to Coast. Wes, what a great story. Welcome to the program.
George, thank you for having me. I appreciate it very much.
So back a couple years ago, you and your brother were out there in the foothills, expected just a normal day. What the heck happened?
Well, what had happened, George, is my dad had died of cancer, and he had passed away 4 months prior to us having this encounter. And that week, my grandfather had passed away. I was out of work. My brother wasn't working a whole lot. And he had come over one night back in November of 2012, and he said, hey, him and I got to talking, and I said, hey, let's just go out for a drive. Let's get out of here. Let's go and just talk about, I mean, so many bad things that had happened.
Oh, my God, yeah.
We decided to go out for a drive, and that night had really changed both of our lives. What had happened is we went out for a drive, and we got turned around on one of the back roads out there, not far from, you know, from Portland, Oregon. You're probably talking 25 minutes north of where this incident happened, but we'd gotten turned around. We were driving up this place called Yakult Mountain out in Yakult, Washington. And as we were heading up this road, we had come to kind of a game trail in the road. And my brother at the time said, hey, let's put on four-wheel drive. Let's go down this game trail.
Now, what's a game trail to some of us who might not know what that is?
Well, kind of like a traveled path that animals take. It was pretty wide open. I mean, we could definitely get the car down it. But kind of a path that animals take. And, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, hey, you know, we had our windows cracked. It was a beautiful night. And I said, hey, I don't want to go down this game trail. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. The last thing I want is to get stuck out here. I love my brother. I don't want to hang out all night with him in a car, sleeping in a car.
out there in the woods.
Yeah. And so he had jumped out of the car, and he was looking at the trail to see if we could put a four-wheel drive. And when he jumped out of the car, George, it was the weirdest thing. I kind of had a, I don't want to say I was like we were being watched. I just had a feeling like something wasn't right when that door opened. It was too quiet.
You could feel it.
You could almost feel it, yeah, and that sounds strange to the audience, but you could almost kind of feel it. I realized something wasn't right at that point. So I was telling him, get back in the car. He jumps back in the car, and he says, hey, man, what's wrong? And I said, turn the car off and just listen for a second. And again, our windows are cracked. So he jumps in the car, he shuts it off, and he listens for a second. He goes, man, it's dead quiet out there. I mean, you could hear a pin drop out there. And for people who've been out in the forest, they know the forest is more loud at night than it is during the day.
Oh, insects, birds, everything.
Everything, yeah. And it was, I mean, you could hear a pin drop out there. And I said, just take a listen. Just listen for a second. He said, you know, you're right. There's something not right. And as we were sitting there, off to the left side of the car, which is the driver's side of the car, we started hearing footsteps coming in towards the car, something bipedal, obviously large, coming in towards the car.
Did it feel as if it sounded human-like? I mean, that's a difficult question. But, you know, nobody anticipates, hey, Bigfoot's out here. So did you think there were some people out there?
Well, I didn't really believe in Bigfoot. And so my first thought was it was a bear. And that's one of the things is we kind of argued back and forth. And I said, well, I don't think it's a bear. It's not an elk. It's obviously two steps walking in towards the car.
Boom. Boom,
so people
boom.
Did come to mind, George, when we were sitting there.
Yeah.
I was thinking maybe we came across a crazy person. You know, and we would kind of whisper back and forth, and it was odd because when we'd whisper, it would stop from walking in on the car.
Huh.
And the minute we would stop whispering, it would start walking in towards the car, and it made it really obvious it was walking in towards the car. And off to my right, on my side of the car, I could hear another one walking in towards the car. It sounded different than what was on my brother's side of the car. What was on his side of the car sounded very heavy. It sounded very big. On my side of the car, I was still walking on two legs, but it was more quick steps.
Okay, but clearly something out there.
Clearly something out there, clearly walking in towards the car. That was my impression at the time. And the game trail we were just about to head down, we could hear another one almost kind of coming out of the brush, walking in towards the car. To describe it to you, George, the area that we were at, the moon was coming in. It was lighting the whole area up. We were faced with the front of the car kind of parked down this game trail facing towards the mountain. And the back end of the car was in the direction we could actually see. So we can't actually see what's coming in towards the car. Well, we hear these things walking in, and I told Woody, I said, give me a count. Tell me, we had been hunting the month prior, and so I pulled my guns, my gun out, my pistol out, handed him his pistol. I had my pistol. I mean, I hate to sound like a bunch of hillbillies, but handed him his pistol, handed my, you know.
Well, it's also defense, self-defense, Wes, so, you know, you probably had to do that.
Well, and that was the last thing I wanted. I really didn't want a gun battle. But as these things walked in towards the car, I remember Woody, my brother, had pointed his gun out the window, and I told him, don't do that. I don't want a gun battle. It's the last thing I want to have happen at this point.
And again, are you still thinking these might be people?
That was really what was going through my head. I really thought, just the way they walked, it was obviously walking, upright walking.
Right. And they could have been robbers. They could have been anybody.
Could have been anybody, yeah. And so we're sitting there, and I remember, you know, like two tough guys. I'm sitting there thinking, well, if these guys want to fight, we'll give them a fight. but things, you know, the tough guy-ness goes away here shortly. Out of the behind the car, and again, the back end of the car is kind of pointed up, the front end's pointed down into this game trail facing the mountain. We hear something crash out of the brush about 30 feet back. And all the leaves are off of the trees, and they're all on the right side of the, you know, on my side of the road, there was a pile of leaves as we had driven up. And 30 feet back, this thing crashes out of the brush, and it starts crawling towards the car. And my impression at the time was, this is something on... like a big guy, military crawl coming towards the car, and it stopped and it growled at us. And the growl that I heard wasn't like any other growl I've ever heard before.
And could you see it at this point?
We couldn't see it at this point. And my brother leaned over and said, hey, I think, did you hear that growl? And I said, yeah, I did. And all of this is happening in real time. All this is happening very, very, very quickly. It comes up, it moves probably another 5 or 10 feet, and it growls at us again. And it's coming towards the car, and it stops, and it growls. The growl that I heard the second time wasn't like the first growl. It sounded more angry, it sounded more agitated, and that threw me off a little bit, because I've heard a lot of different animals growl, and they have one growl. When they're in fear, they growl. When they're upset, they growl. Mm-hmm. This growl changed. It was a different type of growl the second time around. It was longer, it was deeper, and it moves up again, and it's coming closer and closer to the car. And I'm sitting there looking at Woody, and I'm trying to, you know, all this is happening so quick, I'm trying to tell him, hey, let's, you know, I'm trying to almost mutter to him, let's go, let's get out of here.
Yeah, what was holding you back from just taking off?
Well, and a lot of people have asked me that, but the thing is most people don't understand. This happened so quick, there wasn't time to really stop and go, hey, let's get out of here.
And I bet you were curious deep down inside.
I think it was fear more than curious. I think I was more afraid because it had come up again. It was probably... 5 or 10 feet. It growled a total of 5 times at us, and every time it was more pissed when it growled. But it had come up probably about, I want to say, 5 feet from the back bumper. It had growled at us, and I hate to say this, George, because I'm not a paranormal guy, but and this might be fear talking, but I almost physically felt the growl when it had growled at us. I almost physically felt the growl, and I remember looking over at Woody, and his eyes are, you know, huge, and he's white as a ghost. And I'm trying to mutter to him, hey, let's go, let's get out of here. And it had come up, and it was probably inches from the back bumper the last time it had growled at us. And
you still can't see it at this point.
Still can't see it at this point. The last growl, though, it felt like it was sitting in the back bumper, like growling in our ears. And I would describe the growl, and again, I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying, but I would describe it as almost a demonic growl. I mean, it was almost in the backseat growling right in our ears.
Like a possessed person or somebody.
Yeah, Yeah, it was just a really, it was like any other growl I've never heard before.
Hold on, Wes. We'll pick up the story right from that point when we come back. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Wes Germer with us. Okay, Wes, so let's pick up the story. You and your brother are still out there. You're in the car, and these creatures are really close to you.
Yeah, the creature had come up. It was growling. It was probably a couple inches from us. And the last growl, my hands were shaking. I had my gun in my hand. I didn't know Woody had his gun. And I just looked at Woody, and I said, back up. Let's go. And he said, you know what, I think you're right. And he went to back the car up, and to his credit, he backed up pretty slow. We backed out of the game trail that we were in, turned the car around. Now, George, we're in the area where we can actually see everything. The moon's coming in. It's just lighting this whole area up. Now we're facing the direction we can actually see everything. And to describe the area, there's one road in and there's one road out. There's not any other road we can take to get out of this place but straight ahead. And my brother drives probably 30 or 40 feet and stops the car and turns it off almost in frustration. And I'm looking over at him wondering what's going on.
Yeah.
And I start almost, you know, I'm cussing at him. I'm dressing him down verbally. You know, what are you doing? Let's get out of here. And he looked at me and just said, I can't drive, man. I can't. I just need a second. I'm too upset to drive.
Huh.
And that sounds crazy for people listening, but these roads aren't, we're coming off a mountain. There's a cliff on one side.
No room for a mistake, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's no room for mistake. And I realized at that point that if the tables were turned, I probably couldn't have driven us out either. My hands were shaking. And so I kind of sit back in my chair, and I'm looking straight ahead down this road, and he's looking out his window, and he's looking up to his left. And he looks over at me, and he says, do you see this thing in the tree? Am I going crazy over here? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, just look over here. He goes, am I going nuts here? Am I losing it? And I leaned over to his side of the car, and I look up. And in this tree, it just kind of looked like a monkey in a tree. That's the only way I can describe it. It was about 15, 20 feet up. It was a little bit bigger than me. I'm about 6 foot. And it was a little bit bigger than me, but it just reminded me of a monkey in a tree.
A monkey or an ape?
I would say monkey. I would say more monkey. Had its legs wrapped around the tree.
All right.
Had its arms wrapped around the tree. And it would shift its body like it was trying to get a good look at us. Like it would look off to one side of the tree, stump, or, you know, the base of the tree, and look down at us, and it would kind of shift its body and look down at us. It just kind of reminded me of a monkey in a tree is what I thought. And I sat back down, and I can't tell you how long I looked at it, but I watched it go back and forth, back and forth. And my impression at the time was it was trying to get a good look at us. And I just sat down in my chair, and I didn't know what to say. I just kind of looked over him. I was like, you talking about that thing in the tree? And he goes, yeah, am I going nuts? Is this what I'm seeing? And I go, I think it's a monkey in a tree, man. I don't know what it is. I'm a monkey, I guess. And we both look back up after we have this discussion, and whatever was in that tree is now gone. It had left from where it was. I mean, it was right, you know, right up by the car. It was
right.
Gone. It had left. And our windows are still cracked at this point. And off to my right, I could hear breathing. Now, this was my brother's side of the car. Now it's my side of the car. And our windows are still cracked. And up on this ridge line, right next to the car, in the tree line, I can hear this breathing. And the breathing that I heard, I would describe as like a sick bear, or I know on Sasquatch Chronicles, I've said like a fat guy that just got done running a mile.
Yeah,
it would breathe
kind of
in.
Kind of gasping.
Yeah, it would breathe in just as hard as it would breathe out. It was very, you know, odd. I don't want to say Darth Vader because it's not quite right, but it would breathe in just as hard as it would breathe out. And I was telling Woody, I said, hey, do you hear this breathing over here? And so we're looking off to the right now, And out there, George, there's these white trees. They have white bark. I think they're birch trees.
Birch trees, sure. Great looking trees, too.
Yeah, the moon's coming in. It's just lighting these trees up. And they're on my side of the car. And as we're listening to this breathing, on my passenger side mirror, I can see something run behind the car, stand in front of the trees that are behind us, and then take off.
So you think it's just that one, even though you felt several of them close by?
No, I think that it was more than one. I think it was more than
one. So they're all over the place.
Yeah, and the weird part was, as I was looking down at my mirror, I remember thinking that, okay, fear's getting to me. My mind's playing tricks on me. The problem was, is it had come back and ran behind the car and stood in front of these trees. It did it like three or four times. My brother leans over and says, hey, I think we're being surrounded again. Something's behind the car. And I just said, I want to leave. I don't want to be here anymore. Whatever's going on up here, I don't want to know. Let's go.
Still sporting your pistols?
Still sporting our pistols, yeah. And he says, you know what, you're right. Let's get out of here. We go to leave, and I'm looking straight ahead. Right before he starts the car, this thing steps out into the road.
Right there, with the lights. You got the lights on this time, right?
No, lights are off.
Okay.
Lighting the whole place up. He's about ready to start the car, and this thing steps out in the road. And I can tell you it was the biggest thing I'd ever seen. It wasn't a man. It wasn't a bear.
And it wasn't a monkey.
Well, it wasn't a monkey. This thing was bigger than a monkey.
Did it have a tail?
No.
Okay.
No, it didn't have a tail. I can tell you, it stood about 10 feet tall, and from being a hunter, the animal was about 1,000 pounds.
Jeez. Huge.
It defines the word giant for me when you think of a giant. That's what I think of now.
Were you able to see the face, Wes?
That was the thing, is we didn't get a good look at the face. The way the moon was coming in, it was a full moon. There was no foliage on any of the trees. And the moon was off to its left and kind of right behind it. And it was just lighting it up for us. The thing was only about 60 feet away. And it was lighting this thing up. And I can tell you, George, from the way it was proportioned like a cartoon. And I'll tell you what it did, but it was proportioned like a cartoon. What I mean by that is the head should have been bigger for what the body size was. The head almost seemed like it was unproportionately small for what the body size was.
It was like a Beetlejuice character. Remember that movie?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. Like, kind of like that. Yeah, that's a good analogy. I mean, the head really should have been bigger for what the body was. And the head sat right on the shoulders of this thing. But this thing was ripped. I mean, it was muscular. It was built for business. And its arms hung down almost to its knees. Not quite to its knees, but almost to its knees. I saw five fingers on this thing's hand. And they're not proportioned like we're proportioned. You know, our knee bends about 50% of the way down. That's not really how this thing was proportioned. The knee sat almost where our shin is at on our body. And it walked bent knee the whole time it walked across this road. And it would stop and it would turn and look and kind of turn its body. And it would take one step and then stop and kind of turn its body and look in our direction. And the impression I got from looking at it was like this thing wanted to, it was like a challenge, or almost like this thing wanted to fight.
Did it display any anger toward you?
Well, what it did is it went behind. So on the other side of the road, there was a deadfall tree that stood about 8 feet tall. It walked behind it, and it wasn't hiding behind it, but it walked behind it. We could still see it. It was head and shoulders above this deadfall tree, and it would come out and it would pump like it was going to charge us. And, well, almost like you'd see a runner get down like he's going to take off for a run, and it would pump like it was going to charge us and then it would stand up and walk back behind the tree. And it kept doing this. Every time I remember thinking that this thing's going to charge us, that the guns we have are just going to upset this. I mean, it's just going to make it mad.
Would you have used those guns?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I was in that, if I didn't want to, because one of the comments that Woody said is he said, "Hey, let's drive past it. Let's get out of here." And I remember telling him, "Absolutely not." I remember thinking what was going through my head was this thing could probably pick the car up and throw us within it.
And did it look more animal than human? If you had to pick?
A lot of people have asked me that. That's kind of hard to say. I would say when it was up walking.
Sounds like you're on the fence.
Well, they don't walk like we walk is the thing. They don't quite walk like they. It looked very natural. As much as I could put a reference to up having the same walk, but it still wasn't human. It walked bent knee the whole time it walked, and it walked, it kind of reminded me of like an ape. You know, when you see an ape that walks upright, it looks kind of unnatural. It looks kind of uncomfortable. They can do it. They can get up and walk on two legs, but they look pretty uncomfortable doing it. This wasn't like that. This thing looked pretty comfortable up walking on two legs. When it was standing behind that tree, though, and like I said, George, it came out and it kept acting like it was going to charge us. It never did, but when it went back, I can tell you it was kind of a black to light brown or dark brown type color.
Now, where were the other ones, though? Because you had said that you had felt or seen several others in the area. Was this one just by itself?
This one was by itself up until this point. Our main focus was on King Kong coming out acting like he was going to charge us.
Yeah.
Off to our right, there's a ridgetop. And I didn't see it jump off of the cliff, but I saw it in midair. And this, I say it's light gray. Woody will tell you, or my brother will tell you it's white, but I think it was light gray. It jumps off this small ridgetop, small cliff off to our right. I see it in midair, and it's not built like this one that's in the road. It was more slender. It reminded me of like a runner's build. But the way it had leaped in the air reminded me of like how a person would leap in the air. It bounces, it lands in the middle of the road, bounces off of it like a trampoline, and then goes off to the left side of the road towards the riverside. At that time, the big one stepped out, and now he's facing us. And he dropped down to all fours, but the way he dropped down to all fours was very odd. It wasn't like, you know, George, if you get down to all, you know, you're standing up and you get down to all fours, you'll put down one hand, you'll put down the other hand, you'll kind of get down to it. That's not how this happened. This thing, in a split second, is down on all fours like a spider, like you'd see water drop to a puddle. And it starts crawling on its fingertips, and it crawls out in the middle of the road, and it's facing us. And it stops for a second. It never turned its body towards us, but it's facing us. And then it crawls off to the riverside of the road, and it's gone. And at that point, I'm just telling Woody, go, get out of here, let's go. And that's when we left.
Why would it even crawl? Because it obviously could walk and walk well, right?
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of things about its behavior that night that I have so many questions about. If you'd asked me that night, I told you we just saw monsters.
Would you say that this is the traditional Bigfoot that we all hear about?
Yeah, I would say this. Well, yes, I would say it was a traditional Bigfoot. Because I had called Fish and Game the next day. And I was upset when I was talking.
Did they think you were nuts or that you really saw something?
Well, that's the odd part. What happened is I called Washington State Fish and Game. And I talked to the first gentleman that gets on, and I'm just rattling off, this is what happened, well, you know. And he says, well, hang on a second, let me put another gentleman on the line. He transfers me over. It sounds like an older guy that gets on the phone. And I'm telling this guy, hey, look, before I tell you this, I'll take a drug test, I'll take a lie detector test, I'll take any test that you guys want to give me, but I'm telling you, this is what happened. So I'm rattling off like a million miles an hour to this guy what happened, and he tells me, slow down, tell me exactly what happened, and I go through the whole story with him. And the unique part about our conversation I had with him is he said, Wes, it sounds like you guys had a Sasquatch encounter. I need the GPS location of where this happened. Now, if he would have said Bigfoot, George, I would have understood what he was talking about. At the time, I had no clue what he was talking about. He's saying, you know, I said, well, whatever you want to call them, I'm telling you, there's monsters up there. Someone's going to wind up dead. And he just said, I need the GPS location of where this happened. And him and I got in an argument. I said, well, I'm not going back up there. We eventually did, but he called Woody, or my brother, to go through, and Woody, my brother, went through the whole story with him, and he said, we'll look into it and we'll take care of it.
It sounds like it's been happening a lot up that way.
Yeah, since then I found out it's kind of a hotbed for activity up there, for Sasquatch activity. You know, they should put signs or something up there letting people know, but...
So you went, though, from a non-believer to somebody who was really into this.
Yeah, I did. I did. It haunts you when you have something like this happening in your life. You know, it's like finding out the boogeyman's real when you never really believed that the boogeyman's real. Now it's like, well, now it's real.
You started your own show, Sasquatch Chronicles.
Yeah, we started our own show. The main reason why we started our own show was to, after our encounter, my brother and I were talking, and I said, where do you go to talk to someone about this? To where someone won't think you're crazy. Who do you actually talk to about this? And so we decided to start our own show, Sasquatch Chronicles, and we started inviting people to come on and talk about their encounters. And the show's really taken off since then.
Good for you. Well, something's out there, Wes. There's no doubt about it. Too many people are seeing this creature or a series of creatures. Did you feel as if it had some human-like intelligence to it? Not that humans have intelligence sometimes, but... But did it seem like it had some kind of intelligence?
Yes. I don't know that I would say human intelligence, but I can tell you that they seem to work well together. They move like special forces at night, and they do seem very intelligent. Even the ones that we've seen, I could tell there was some sort of thought process going on there. This wasn't a deer. This wasn't a bear. This wasn't a coyote. This was something more that had... an intelligence to it.
Well, when we come back, Wes, let's talk a little bit about what you did after that, how you got involved with a number of Bigfoot researchers out there, and what you think this really might be. We'll also open up the phone lines, too, to share stories and questions with Wes Germer. His website, of course, SasquatchChronicles.com, linked up for you at CoastToCoastAM.com. I love these stories about Bigfoot. They're just chilling. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.